okay.
Hello, patrons. So what were you saying, Roger, about your untamable anger that will eventually...
Nothing.
You can't prove anything,
Your
Honor.
Nothing you can prove.
Nothing Roger said is admissible at a court of law.
No, and frankly, nothing happened, all right? Everyone came away completely unscathed. Completely unscathed.
There was no scathing.
No. Some shouting, but no scathing.
Wow, everybody's buying Snap stock because they made that $100 million deal with Time Warner to make tiny shows. Tiny things are hot. Tiny houses, tiny shows.
Tiny houses, tiny food videos.
Yes.
Tiny houses are one of those. I'm sorry. I think I understand the appeal, but really, no. Like, if you, it's fine for an individual, but people who cram a family into a tiny house, unless you got like, unless you're sitting on an acre plot so everyone can run around. It's not fun. Oh, look, I'm so clever with all the space and I got rid of everything I don't need. Whoa.
What?
What are you talking about, Roger?
What are you talking about?
But no, tiny houses. Like people to live in a tiny house.
You're still mocking people who are like tiny.
I'm not mocking. I'm just
you mock the efficient.
It's nothing to do with efficiency. It's everything to do with pretending that you can live in that small amount of space.
You can.
While raising a child. No.
I mean, you've done it.
If it was just you, fine. I get it.
Roger's mad because he had to do it in that apartment in San Francisco.
It's just, no, it just doesn't work. I'm sorry.
I mean, it worked. It just wasn't pleasant. That's what you're saying. But those shows make it look like it's a benefit.
Back in the early 1900s, people were living like that to a single room house with a family.
We had 15 sleep to a bed.
And guess what? When we got rich, we didn't want to live that way.
And we shared a single bowl of pea soup.
Really, it was just a single bowl of pea, but we watered it down. So
that's why we called it pea soup.
Uh-oh. You feel uncomfortable, Veronica?
No, just gross.
That's disgusting.
You don't like pea soup?
I know.
Not anymore. Not after that conversation.
I had a, for Father's Day, I had a stuffed eggplant. It was stuffed with diced eggplants and ground beef.
Was an eggplant stuffed with other eggplants?
Yeah, that was part of, that was what was on the menu.
Were they tiny eggplants?
Well, they were once they diced it. Little bits of eggplant.
Eggplants stuffed with tiny eggplants.
Yeah, it sounded kind of healthy.
Over eggplant.
I was looking at the menu and it's like, well,
where'd you go to eat?
I went to Columbus,
Ohio.
No, Eagle. It's in Eagle Rock.
Ah, okay.
That Eagle Rock, man. No.
My dogs didn't get me anything for Father's Day because they said, "You're not even the same species as us."
And really, you're not our father.
You're not actually our father.
Just realized I was picking my nose on camera.
Nobody can see it yet.
Forgot about that.
But now you've made sure the audio people know you're doing it, though.
I did it again.
That was more of a scratch than
there it is. The family
Columbo's restaurant. Is that where Columbo used to eat from the TV series Columbo?
There were many Columbos, but if you're talking about that one particular.
But this one is mine.
Yeah, there are many like it, but this one is mine. Glass eye and all. Oh, too soon, too soon.
What was that band Glass Tiger? You don't remember Glass Tiger?
Yeah, they did Don't You Forget About Me?
No. Did they? I thought that was someone else. Glass Tiger is a Canadian rock band from Newmarket, Ontario. Yeah, Don't Forget Me. Yeah. Is the name of the song.
Yeah.
All right. Good job.
I know my Canadian bands. I know all three. Or four.
Don't Forget Me is different than Simple Minds, Don't You Forget About Me. That's what I was thinking.
There's a pronoun. And then what's the other one that not Tom Cochran, Oh, Loverboy, Working for the Weekend. That's the other one they know.
That's another Canadian band, not another Don't Forget Me riff.
Yeah, no, that's another
Canadian. Yeah, there's Brian Adams, too.
He's not a band. He's more of a Rush. That's the third one. There's the Bare Naked Ladies, but ever since that cocaine thing.
Paul Schaefer and the World's Most Dangerous Band. I don't know if they're all Canadian, though.
No, just Paul Schaefer.
Yeah. Peter Jennings, who is not a band or a musician.
Yeah. Is he still, he's still anchor, huh? Is he? Yeah.
Peter Jennings, he's no longer with us.
You know what it is? I always confuse Peter. I'm probably going to get pilloried for this, but confuse Peter Jennings with Brian. Who's the guy from NBC? Brian
Williams?
Williams?
Yeah.
They're like different generations.
The white guys all look the same to me, especially music. I see.
That's why you always call me Scott.
I've never called you Scott. I've called Scott Tom before. You were the first blonde-haired guy with glasses and a scruffy beard.
I took Scott. I was going to say Sawyer, and I said Scott. Scott does not remind me of my dog at all. I had to take Sawyer into the vet this morning because he broke a nail. Like he degloved his dew claw.
Ooh, the dew claw.
Yeah.
That's the rear one. Your rear one.
No, it was actually on his front left. And I don't know how he did it, but he messed it up. The doctor told me, he's like, if you could pull it off, it's fine. You just have to do it really fast. And I'm like, okay, I'm not sure.
How long does it take to grow back?
Not long. He said to just make sure he doesn't lick it for the next couple of days, and it'll heal over, and then it'll start growing back.
So how far did it rip?
I didn't realize this. Because I saw the quick, and I'm like, oh my god, it's all gone. But the top stayed on. It was the bottom half cracked off.
Okay, yeah. You can use super glue.
And glue it back together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As long as it's not touching the quick.
I don't think I could have done that. It's too small.
Mm-hmm.
And the vet just took it off. They're like,
okay.
They're like, we just took it off. He's fine. He won't even need a bandage. It's not bleeding or anything. So
that's good. Yeah, we got Bodega her backpacking backpack.
Oh, we had one of those for Django.
Yeah.
In fact, we might make Ray wear that one of these days.
Yeah.
It's actually one of our favorite pictures of Django. She's got her backpack on and she's sitting, so it looks like she has a cape, like she's a superhero.
Yeah, we're going backpacking this weekend, and so I got to get her used to it.
Yeah.
To packing a pack.
Django got used to hers really fast.
But she's part work dog.
Yeah.
Was part work dog.
Yeah, Bodega's not. Is Bodega, is Retriever a work dog? Working dog?
Yeah, they are a working dog breed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, they are.
Does she draw a salary?
No, she does not. Only in kibble.
I make the same joke every time I go to the vet. They're like, okay, your amount is this. I'm like, what? Sawyer didn't pay? And then they never fail to respond. He said he forgot his wallet. And I'm like, oh, okay. It's a thing that happens when I go to the vet.
Pet dad hashtag pet dad jokes. Pet dad jokes.
Ray went to her club today. You'll find her in the club.
Me in the club.
She's starting to make friends, pal around. She did some sunbathing.
Ooh.
Sweet.
Sunbathing.
Yep. We took them in a car ride together this weekend to see how they did in the car together.
Mm-hmm.
And they did pretty good.
Good.
Yeah. When Ray laid down, she actually gave Sawyer more room than Django did. Django would just kind of shove him out of the way and take the middle. And Sawyer would stand on top of her. But Ray kind of laid to the side, no interlocking.
Nice. Cute.
But Ray likes to look out. She likes to look out and see what's going on.
Oh, I wish Bodega did.
Sawyer just stays in the middle, is like, tell me when it's over.
Yeah, she just looks car sick the whole time. Yeah. Pants.
That's what Sawyer does too.
Isn't that what's the thing with some dogs in vans? Like they're not good with standing, or they always want to stand and they can't lay down. I remember the local police department in Modesto bought a bunch of minivans because they thought, hey, it's great. We can carry two police dogs instead of one.
Mm-hmm.
Except the dogs all kept getting sick.
Oh,
back.
Weird.
But they were fine in the cars.
When they could see out.
Yeah, maybe Maybe. Might be that.
Oh, interesting. Well, let's get the video rolling.
Control?
I will give you your control, mister. You'll get your control and you'll like it. Hi, everybody. What's going on?
I'd like a maple bar.
We were just talking about tiny houses and dogs.
And dad jokes. Or
pet dad jokes. Maybe we should get Veronica to do the show on Fridays and have drinks.
I can't drink at work.
No, but Friday we could you could just leave. Don't you like tech companies just quit at 2 o'clock on Fridays?
No. I left at 6 on Friday.
That's a myth.
Yeah, at least it's our startup.
Damn it. You mean some startups actually make their employees work to build the product that they're trying to sell?
Huh. I used to, oh, man, it was sucked when we first started, Revision 3 because I was working. I was glad I hired Serafina because we were working till like 8 or 9 p.m. on Fridays trying to get our thing.
I used to work real late at Tech TV back in the ZD TV days too.
I used to try to work late at CNET and people would be like, go home.
I wish people told me, but I came into the studio at 10 p.m. with David Spark. And he was like going on about something. I think he was half drunk because he came down from the J&B.
Oh, yeah.
And I had to I got to install this stuff for tomorrow's show. So we're going to, he's just wandering out of the set talking about something weird. Like, dude, why are you here?
We were all so young then.
I was so naive. I was making barely above poverty wages and I was burning 60 hours a week. I was like, oh, this is cool. I've loved it.
People would tell me to go home and I would say, I don't have a home to go to.
I just said when I wanted to know when we got better grub in the kitchen. And then mysteriously 2 months later, we started getting hot cereal.
Yeah. Remember? We got the oatmeal.
Yeah. But before then it was just a stupid Lipton tea. Mm-hmm.
Mysteriously. I like that.
Yeah.
We got money now. We're upgrading.
Yeah. That was when Paul Allen bought us, we started getting instant oatmeal in the kitchen.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, the dot-com boom.
Oh, man. So many people left for various startups.
Excite.
Yes.
Look smart.
That's where Jen was working.
All those heritage companies.
Ask Jeeves, remember?
Oh, yeah. Oh, everybody's going over to Oakland to work for Ask Jeeves. All right. Shall we do this show then?
Yes. I'm ready.
About today's technology. Here we go. Daily Tech News Show doesn't take advertisements. We are powered by you and therefore answerable only to you. To find out more, head to dailytechnewsshow.com/support. This is the Daily Tech News for Monday, June 19th, 2017. I'm Tom Merritt, Veronica Belmont alongside, and we have prepared to shoot at your face all of the tech news of the day. I don't know why I said it that way.
God, aggressive, Tom.
A little too aggressive for a Monday. We are prepared to present to you the technology news that will help you understand the world around you. How's that?
Beautiful.
Is that better?
It is.
All right, let's start with a few tech things you should know about. Hey, the European Parliament proposed amended regulation that would require end-to-end encryption and forbid backdoors into encryption for any purpose, including law enforcement. If approved, Parliament, the proposal would still need to be reviewed by the EU Council. So it's far from becoming the law, but the opposite of what we usually hear governments around the world talking about.
That's pretty awesome. I hope that sets a precedent. That'd be great. It probably won't, but it's a good start. The GSMA Cell Phone Technology Trade Group released data showing more than 5 billion people, about two-thirds of the world's population, have a mobile phone subscription. 4 years ago, the number was 4 billion.
Yeah, and it's 8 billion accounts. So there's 5 billion unique people, right? And a lot of people have dual SIMs, two accounts, this or that. LG announced an upgrade to the G6 phone Monday with 128 gigabytes of storage now available, B&O Play headphones in the box, high-resolution audio, and blue and gold options, along with the existing black option.
And the government of Venezuela says 180 of its Twitter accounts have been suspended. Accounts can be suspended for abusive behavior, security, or spam, among other reasons, though Twitter has not commented on Venezuela's accounts.
Venezuela's got problems right now. A lot of protests, a lot of controversy down there. So I'm very much waiting to see if Twitter says anything about this. I can't imagine they would suspend 180 government accounts with no explanation.
That's super weird.
Yeah. So I'm curious to find out what actually is going on. Now here are some more top stories. DeepRoot Analytics is a marketing firm that works with the Republican National Committee in the United States on marketing to the electorate. And accidentally stored internal documents on a publicly accessible Amazon server. Essentially just didn't password protect the file, the database, exposing more than 198 million U.S. citizens' personal information, things like address, birthday, phone number, as well as things like analysis of the issues that might be the most important or how this person might vote. Based on their collected data. Files were discovered by UpGuard risk analyst Chris Vickery on June 12th. He informed the RNC about the discovery. There is no evidence the files were accessed by anyone else, that there was any malicious access. It's just embarrassing.
I'm really curious how he found them. I'll have to dig into that
he
story.
The only line I read about it in Gizmodo was he was doing a regular survey of public-facing servers as a risk analyst. That's one of the things he does, is just looks around to see, like, okay, what's accidentally showing to the public, and he found these.
I'm sure they're very, very grateful.
Yeah.
A team from Georgia Institute of Technology is exploring using 3D printers to create structures that expand when heated and sometimes called 4D printing. It uses tension integrity, or tensegrity, to hold floating solid rods together by cable. When dunked in 149-degree water, the rods unfold. The structures have memory, meaning they can be collapsed back into the original flat state.
Yeah, so, trying to figure out how to get stuff into space is costly. The idea that you could make lightweight materials, that this is like instant IKEA. They're delivered flat. And then you just heat them up. You don't have to put them in water. They just did that because that makes them heat up a little quicker. But you could heat them up other ways. I'm not sure how you heat them up in space. That sounds like it might be energy intensive as well. But this is a pretty cool idea for 4D printing. And if you haven't heard 4D printing before, that is a common term that's kicked around when something changes after the original print. So the fourth dimension being time.
There's 4D printed pasta.
Is there? So how does it change after you print it?
So the machine prints the pasta, or it essentially like bends the pasta in a certain way. And then when you put it in water, it unfolds to the pasta shape.
Gotcha. So like corkscrews and linguine and stuff like that.
It's kind of neat.
Yeah. You gotta go watch the videos on this as well, because the tensegrity has been around since the 60s. It's something Buckminster Fuller talked about. And these look very much like Buckminster Fuller type constructions that they've created here that unfold. Long way to go before these little things that they dunk into water can turn into habitable structures that could be put into space, but pretty cool. Qualcomm unveiled a reference design for smart audio devices, essentially smart speakers. That includes microphone, speaker, voice recognition. In fact, it won't be there right at launch, but shortly after launch, they'll have support for Amazon or Google's voice services. Qualcomm's DDFA audio amplifier and audio development kit will help manufacturers build Bluetooth speakers, headphones, smart speakers, other audio products. They're using Linux and Android Things as their software, and including Qualcomm's AllPlay system for networking speakers together, although there's not a lot of other speakers that use that. The idea would be if you have AllPlay speakers, they can all talk to each other, even if they're from different manufacturers. Chips are expected to be available in Q3 2017. Interesting move for Qualcomm, because one of the reasons Qualcomm became huge was they bet on the right horse with smartphones, with the Snapdragon chips, and they're trying to do it again.
Yeah, they're like, here, OEMs, like, take our design, like, figure out how this is going to work. Go out and make voice recognition technology. Go make these speakers. Go make these systems. And I think that's only going to be better for the market.
And buy all of your chips from us when you
buy your chips from us
in large amounts. Also agree to all our patent terms, or we'll sue you like we're doing with Apple.
Well, speaking of smartphones, did you have more to say?
No, I was just going to say that you know, they'll figure that out eventually.
They'll figure it out. Yeah. A group called the Parents Against Underage Smartphones is trying to get an initiative on the ballot in Colorado that would ban the sale of smartphones meant to be used by children under 13. Retailers would be required to ask who a smartphone was intended for. The group is led by Denver area anesthesiologist Tim Farnham, who is now seeking 300,000 signatures to get on the November 2018 ballot.
I get it.
I just don't know. Like, smartphones are also good for safety. Like, there's tons of smartphones out there in the market that are meant for children or preteens, and they're made so that they can, for example, just call a set number of numbers, like call mom or dad or babysitter or whoever they need to get in touch with. So maybe this is not geared towards those kinds of things, but at the same time, a lot of kids are like, use smartphones to stay in touch with their parents and call them when they need them.
I look at this and I feel like, okay, there is a real concern about kids, you know, being bullied on over the internet, using apps, spending too much time in apps, getting addicted to things, feeling depressed because of social networks that make everyone else's life look better than yours. All very real things. I don't personally believe this is the best way to deal with it. It's like saying, hey, television is bad for kids. Let's ban the sale of televisions that will be used for children to view them, right? It just strikes me as...
this kind of thing never works.
It's wrong on lots of ends. First of all, the parents should be encouraged to take responsibility and help their children learn how to use smartphones
responsibly. Cell phone use. Yeah, totally.
And those smartphones that you're talking about are great choices parents have to do that. Also... anybody can say when the retailer asks them, hey, are you buying this for your kid? No.
Like, what are they going to do? Are they going to, they're not going to fine kids that have smartphones on them.
So it's not illegal for the kids to have them. It's illegal for the retailer not to ask the question.
This is a pointless waste of time and energy is what we're saying.
Yeah, pretty much.
Focus on more important things. Focus on getting kids not to text and drive. Make that your initiative.
Yeah. Yeah. There's, and there could be very effective ways to do that. So
I'm angry now, Tom. I know that Tim Farnham,
he's not going after the driving age children. He's going after the under 13. And maybe there's good things that can be done there to help children understand, like, hey, these are the realities of getting out into the real world of the internet. Because
let's get him on the show. I want to find out why he thinks this is a good idea.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Sources at grocery delivery company Instacart have told several journalists that the company is 1 year into a 5-year deal with Whole Foods. So I was among the people that made the remark, this is the end for Instacart on Friday. Instacart's like, yeah, well, they're going to have to pay us a lot of money to get out of that 5-year deal if they don't want to be part of it. So Instacart's hanging tough. They also told TechCrunch, Amazon just declared war on every supermarket and corner store in America, which I think is an exaggeration. I don't think Amazon will go to war with your corner bodega. But Instacart's making a plea for other grocery chains to partner with them. They estimate Whole Foods makes up 10% of their business, but they'd certainly like it to make up a less percentage of their business now that Amazon owns it. And sources are also telling Bloomberg Amazon plans to lower prices at Whole Foods once it acquires it.
Ooh, that's good news.
I know, right?
You know, I have to say, I had the same exact initial thought when I heard the news. Actually, the first thought I had when I woke up, grabbed my phone, looked at Twitter, saw that Amazon was buying Whole Foods, my first thought was, sucks for Instacart, which is a weird thing to wake up thinking.
Yeah.
But at the same time,
especially because you wake up every morning thinking that same thing for less reason.
I don't like Instacart. I don't like Instacart. I don't think it's very good. I don't think the service is very good. I don't think the consistency is very good. And I think Amazon probably looked at them and was like, they're not there yet. Like, maybe, you know, I bet that a ton of people on Amazon were like, maybe this would be something that we should pick up on the way. You know, like, we're already paying $13.7 or $13.3 billion for Whole Foods. You know, why not throw in another, I don't know, 20 million? I don't know how much Instacart would be at this point. You know,
I don't think Amazon would bother buying Instacart. I mean, they've got Amazon Fresh going.
Yeah. And it would be a stopgap measure too, because ultimately I don't think they want people delivering food at all. But Instacart is, they have a lot of work to do, I think. And maybe it's better in other parts of the country.
Right. I was going to say, it may be worse in your neighborhood than it is in other parts of the country. Because they are doing well. They are serving a lot of different parts of the country. And they're growing. So they must be doing something right. And they want to make it clear that just because Amazon will likely replace them, that A, they're not going down easy because they've got a 5-year contract, and B, they're ready to help everyone who is going to be in competition with Amazon, which is every other grocery store, right?
Yeah. Well, good luck to them.
Yeah. I think the idea of Whole Foods becoming a more affordable place to shop is an intriguing one.
I'm sorry. I'm stoked for this deal. Like I can't help but be a little like selfishly excited about it because I do shop at Whole Foods and I do use Amazon, and that combination of things is only good for me, Veronica Belmont.
Well,
I don't know what the other repercussions yet will be, but so far things are coming up roses for Veronica Belmont.
Part of what Whole Foods was able to do was say, hey, they're willing to pay it. Let's charge it and make a bunch of money. But that has been working less well for them lately. And in fact, they had an activist investor come in, and that a lot of people are attributing this sale to Amazon as a result of the pursuit by that activist investor to get policies to change within Whole Foods. So this is the right time for Amazon to come in and change that business model. And Amazon knows how to run on a thin margin. They don't mind that.
And they don't mind spending money to fix things.
No, they don't. Hey, folks, if you want to get all the tech headlines each day in just about 5 minutes, it's the perfect way to just keep up to date. Subscribe to Daily Tech Headlines at dailytechheadlines.com. You can get it on the Amazon Echo as a flash briefing or in the Anchor app, where you can even do calls in to the station at anchor.fm. And that is a look at our top stories. All right. Google General Counsel Kent Walker posted an op-ed on the Financial Times, but he also posted it to the Google blog about what the company is doing to combat terrorist content. And if you recall, many advertisers have pulled their advertising from YouTube because they are worried about appearing next to extreme content. So I figured we'd spend some time going through the four things that Walker outlined and talk about how necessary, how effective we think they will be. Ready?
I'm ready.
Number one is technology. So they want to distinguish informative reporting from glorification of violence, and they've got some machine learning that can help them do that. In fact, Walker claims that video analysis has already been finding more than 50% of the removed content in the last 6 months. So they're going to basically beef it up, apply the most advanced machine learning research to train new content classifiers. This is maybe the weakest of the four, where they say, hey, that thing that you know we're really good at, we're going to do more of that.
Well, I mean, it's really important to, like you said, to distinguish that informative reporting from the glorification. I mean, an example of that would be, were there a terrorist attack and the BBC was showing reporting of the aftermath versus someone who uploads a video and talks about what a wonderful thing it was that this happened. Look at all these people suffering.
Right.
So that's tough for a machine to do. I mean, there's definitely ways that it can kind of contextualize it, but that's something that they're trying to get a lot better at.
So they're going to double down on that and make it better. Okay, fine. Mm-hmm. We'll believe it when we see it. Number two, YouTube Trusted Flagger program will be expanded. Now this kind of affects that last thing that we were talking about, the ability to tell, well, wait, that's actually a legit news story. This is not. You bring in humans who can distinguish the nuance between news and propaganda. Trusted Flagger is already a program that includes 63 organizations, and they say that reports from the Trusted Flagger program are accurate more than 90% of the time, which outperforms a general public flagging program. So what they're going to do here is they're going to add 50 expert non-governmental organizations that specialize in hate speech, self-harm, and terrorism, give them some optional grants, and expand their work with anti-extremist groups in general. This one strikes me as possibly being a little more effective.
Yeah, this is actually getting people who are trained in recognizing this kind of content and maybe not taking some of the personal feelings involved with the content into effect in the same way that maybe a layperson would. So like if I see something objectionable to me, I might flag it even though it's not necessarily objectionable to the larger population. because I'm taking my own beliefs and opinions and putting it on that content. They're hoping that these people from these expert NGOs are a little more, you know, looking from a top-down approach and kind of thinking about it from a different way.
Yeah, that does not mean what you think it means. Is essentially what these folks are doing,
right?
Saying, you know, that one's okay. No, that one act and the opposite too. Possibly being able to identify some things that we might not realize are
like this is coded racism or yeah, this is right. like whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, what about the edge cases where, and this is, you know, where the rubber meets the road. What about, hey, you know what? I have the right to be angry and say offensive things. Why should that be taken away? You're going to ban me for that. So number three is they're going to toughen up on these edge cases. Inflammatory, religious, or supremacist content that doesn't clearly violate YouTube policies will instead get an interstitial warning, will not allowed to be monetized, and will have no recommendations, no user comments or endorsements. And Walker wrote, "We think this strikes the right balance between free expression and access to information without promoting extremely offensive viewpoints." So this one to me is directly addressing what's caused the problem with the advertisers, where someone doesn't violate the policies, but just spews hatred. And the advertiser's like, we don't want our ads running on that. And so YouTube's saying, okay, we're not going to delete that content because, hey, you know what? It's an open platform. But when it's the kind of thing that we know is going to turn advertisers off, we're going to turn off monetization.
This is interesting, too, and something that I think or hope that other social networks will take into account, because I think Twitter tries to do something like this. They essentially, instead of just, you know, banning people's accounts or like removing access from Twitter for certain users or IP addresses, they do these like soft bans.
Yeah.
They turn off your account for like 24 hours as a warning. But the way by which they go about doing it is not very good, and their success rate of actually finding this stuff is pretty poor. And I think there just needs to be a little more like actual eyeballs on it or more of that oversight from people who are maybe not as tied into it as they should be.
Yeah. And this one, to be honest, has almost nothing to do with combating terrorism. This one in particular is about mollifying the advertisers, because the YouTube has been rightly saying, hey, we remove content pretty fast. But the advertisers are saying, yeah, but you're not removing this content. And YouTube's like, that content doesn't violate our policies. The advertisers say, we don't care. We don't want our ads running on it. So I think this is the one that addresses that. Number four is expanding the YouTube Creators for Change program. And I actually feel like this is the only one that attempts to solve the problem at its root. Currently, the YouTube Creators for Change program gives YouTube creators voices against hate and radicalization. So they promote people who combat that. They've been working with Alphabet's Jigsaw. Jigsaw used to be part of Google, you know, and it got spun out into its own organization. But essentially, it is a think-do tank, is what they say. It's not just a think tank, but they also implement things to help prevent, say, DDoS attacks against journalists, help combat the spread of terror messages. And one of the things Jigsaw has done in many cases is the redirect method. So YouTube is going to work with Jigsaw on applying the redirect method more broadly in Europe. That's where you target ads to potential recruits with anti-terrorist videos. And the click-through on previous redirect efforts has been unusually high. They didn't give any actual numbers, but they say it's pretty good. So that when you see someone who might be susceptible to being recruited into a terrorist organization, you show them an ad that explains how they're being duped.
That's fascinating. This was the point of the part of the article where I was like, wow, like if they can figure that out and actually reach out to people on a person-to-person basis, like that's pretty incredible.
Yeah, and it's the kind of thing that says, hey, let's actually not just treat the symptoms by you know, blocking and patching and this and that. Let's try to change some minds. It's also like, the harder thing to do.
That's not like exactly blocking and preventing people from seeing content. That's if they're already forming an idea or an opinion about something, that's not going to stop them from forming or changing that opinion. But actually showing content that could potentially have an impact on that perspective is huge.
Yeah. Some other things that are outside of those four main points that we just talked about. Google is working with Facebook, Microsoft, and Twitter to establish an international forum where they can share and develop technology and support smaller companies who are just getting started in dealing with these issues. I hope Twitter benefits from that, because they... We obviously all think Twitter has problems with the way it handles and moderates its content. And some of it, you know, everyone talks about, you know, bullying and abuse and that, and that's rightly discussed. But they also just don't do very well on identifying content. I constantly in TweetDeck see this message has been removed because it may contain sensitive material, and it doesn't. Half the time it's the tech and or it's the history and pictures account that's, you know, showing me a picture of a crowd from the 50s. Like, I just don't understand how it's working. It's not working.
Right. Well, there's a lot of, I think this is a great initiative. And like I said, I hope other social networks and companies of this magnitude, Facebooks, the Twitters, et cetera, you know, pick up this kind of process.
Yeah, me too. Hey, thanks to everybody who participates in our subreddit. That helps us put together this lineup every day because we can see what you guys are into. Submit your stories and vote on them at dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com. Let's check in real quick with Mr. Nate Langson over there in the UK to see what's going on the Text Message Podcast.
Thanks, Tom. Hey, did you know Amazon is rumored to be looking at selling cars in the UK? We didn't, but we've discussed it on this week's episode, as well as looking at the death of mobile phone roaming charges across Europe, which were axed across the continent this week. And what are two Chinese companies trying to do with the UK's bicycle rental industry? Find out by listening to Text Message episode 103, out now at techpodcast.uk. Back to you.
Thank you, Nate. Go check it out, techpodcast.uk. Let's get to our messages of the day. First one comes from Rico, who says, the week of Amazon. Wow, it has expanded as rapidly as the Amazon forest has probably declined. Sad Brazilian here saying that. About Amazon possibly buying Slack. It got me connecting some imaginary dots. You know, Bezos owns a stake in 37signals Basecamp. I don't know how to connect those dots, but voila, one more dot on the table. I'm sure the DTNS listeners slash bosses can trace a pretty line right through it. So, let's say Amazon does buy Slack. We don't know that they are, but maybe they, let's say they do. And they do what Amazon usually does, which is leave companies like Goodreads and Audible operating as they are.
Mm-hmm.
Does owning a stake in Basecamp change that? Does it help them? Does it, you know?
No, it doesn't. I don't think it does anything.
Okay.
I don't think it matters.
These dots cannot connect is what you're saying.
Well, I mean, there's no, I can't really say that something like from a competitive standpoint that Basecamp and Slack are, while they are collaborative tools or collaboration tools, Basecamp is not, it's not really a team messaging platform. Could they do something like integrate Basecamp functionality into Slack? Sure, but they could do that anyway. Yeah. They don't need Amazon owning both of them for them to do that. And I just think it's small beans. I just don't think it really, at the end of the day, matters. I don't know if Amazon's going to buy Slack. I feel like maybe that rumor just got mixed up in the Whole Foods discussion somehow.
Oh, no.
It was just like a confluence of events at the same time.
I mean, maybe. I think it's legit that Amazon probably had some meetings, but it may be that those meetings were just run-of-the-mill meetings that you have. I tell you what I would 100% believe is Amazon is looking for some acquisitions to beef up their enterprise productivity offering. And they would be remiss in not taking a meeting with Slack if that's the case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, I'm sure you talked this to death on the show the other day when the news broke, but you know, Slack is, you know, probably they have been talking about staying independent for a very, very long time. Full disclosure, I'm a Slack fund company, so I don't know any of the internal workings, but yeah, I guess I'm supposed to say stuff like that. But on the same token, like, you know, I'm sure there are tons of companies that are speaking to them, you know, Microsoft probably wouldn't mind picking them up at some point, even with the team stuff, just to crush them. I don't know.
Yeah. And it was rumored that Microsoft did meet with them before. So this will probably end up being the same way. Rico also wrote in response to our listener who was looking for some answers about encryption on Google Drive and said, there is one that you might check out called Sukasa, SOOKASA.com. That doesn't answer the question, but it's a third party thing, kind of like Boxcryptor. And then we got a great email from Thrumwald, who explained a lot about what's going on with G Suite, how data is encrypted at rest with G Suite, has some links. He says, yeah, it doesn't ever state drive specifically. However, Google does not run different systems or data centers for their consumer products, so I believe this would all apply to consumer drive as well. Having said that, I did not go digging for anything specific to consumer drive, and I was only able to find a Is Google Drive Secure article that says when you upload files to Google Drive, they are stored in secure data centers. The only place I would be concerned about drive files not being encrypted is if you sync them to a mobile device, PC or Mac. If they're encrypted on your local storage, would depend on your local settings in your file system. Side note, all Chromebooks use SSDs that are always encrypted, and their local data is only unencrypted when logged in with the account that stored it. So good information from Thrumwald, and we'll have his full email in there. Thank you. And I forward that whole email along to the person who was asking as well.
Oh, awesome.
Finally, Robert from sunny San Diego, from his Commodore VIC-20, he claims, sent the following email. Just listen to you and Scott talking about possible changes to the next version. We should proceed with caution when predicting when those features will appear. I'm in tech manufacturing and can tell you it takes a while to set up and qualify with the customer, in this case, Apple, the test themselves, not to mention testing the product. What is he referring to? He's referring to the Wistron executive claiming wireless charging was one of the things being developed for an iPhone. Robert says, it's possible, but I won't be surprised if we don't see those things until the S version of the next iPhone.
I would love wireless charging.
Yeah. But I appreciate Robert's insight on this, saying like, yeah, Wistron's executive could be absolutely right that they are working with it, but it doesn't mean it's coming to any of the phones that are coming out this year. Also, Robert's still using a Commodore VIC-20 to send his email too. So, hey, nice. That is it for this episode of Daily Tech News Show. Before we're out of here, though, Veronica, you've got another podcast that you just announced today coming from Mozilla. Tell us about it.
Yes, I can finally talk about my new podcast project that I've been working on for the past, oh gosh, month and a half or so. It's called IRL. And the premise is because online life is real life. And essentially, we're discussing topics that, you know, our online life affects our real life now. Our real life affects our online life. Everything is intermeshed and they're very intrinsically tied. And so we talk about data security. We talk about net neutrality. We talk about all sorts of topics that I think we've discussed a lot on this show as well. We do deep dives into them. We have some great interviews. A private investigator goes after me on the internet and digs up dirt in one of the first episodes.
Did he find the unedited versions of Buzz Out Loud where you curse?
No, but he did find some really interesting tidbits, so definitely check it out. But you can subscribe now at irlpodcast.org, and you can get it wherever your podcasts are found.
Excellent. I'm looking forward to this. I know you've been working out really hard on it for a while now.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm excited that it's out there in the public and ready for consumption shortly. Again, it's irlpodcast.org. Thanks to everybody who supports this show. We are entirely listener supported, and we hope that you give a little value back to the show for the value you get from it. R. Bell, Mike Miller, and Rick Fahey are among the people who are doing just that at patreon.com/DTNS. So we thank them and everyone else who supports the show. You guys are the best. Our email address is feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. We're live Monday through Friday, 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 2030 UTC at alphageekradio.com and diamondclub.tv. We've got a Facebook group, facebook.com/dailytechnewsshow, and our website is dailytechnewsshow.com. Back tomorrow with Patrick Beja. Talk to you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Bingo. Good show.
Yeah.
That was a good discussion.
Yeah, I'm excited about that stuff.
Yeah, you've got some good discussions coming up on IRL too, I know.
Oh, dude. Yeah, we've got some crazy discussions. I got to interview some hackers this morning.
I didn't know you had a private detective go after you.
Yeah, he's legit. He was hilarious. He is like old school, like super old school, like PI, like from.
Does he have a voiceover follow him when he walks into a room? And
he sounds like he could be doing his own voiceover. Like, he's incredible. And he's like, the first thing he says, he's like, I could tell from 2 seconds looking at your Twitter account that you're a San Francisco liberal.
I could tell from 2 seconds of looking at her Twitter account, she was a San Francisco liberal.
Yeah, right. I was like, so you read my most recent tweet is what you're saying.
Yeah. Also, I live in San Francisco. Yeah.
But he did find some other stuff that was a little more interesting.
Okay. Yeah. And when you say interesting, were you embarrassed by any of it?
No.
Okay.
No.
I'm still intrigued, though.
I have to sneeze.
Bless you. Bless you.
Thank you.
I did simultaneous bless yous over your sneezes.
Is that supposed to work better?
I don't know. I feel like it's more preventative somehow. Cancels it out immediately. Where'd Roger? Oh, Roger's coming back now. There he is.
But I was called a Marxist today for doing the Mozilla show.
How's a Marxist?
I don't know. Anil Dash was like, I don't think that means what you think it means.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. Mozilla is open source, but that's different than Marxism.
Yeah.
Yeah. What? In any case, show titles.
Yes, show titles.
Make American data generally available. Grocery Wars, the Amazon edition. Tom is aggressive. EU locks back doors closed. EU encryption. EU encryption.
Yeah, I get it. I don't know how you pronounce it either.
GOP got zero privacy.
That's
G-0-P. G0P got zero privacy. Instant IKEA just add water. Grand oops party.
Oh, that's the 4D printing Instant IKEA. Yes. That's funny.
That's cute.
Yeah, they do that for satellites. They use a lot of there's a lot of people with origami background or really good origami skills because you have to be able to fold a satellite to fit inside a rocket.
Oh yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, we did a great interview with a guy out in Alamo about that. Or system a while back. Grocery Wars, Starving the Trolls. He's had a whole room dedicated to his origami. The War on YouTube Terrorism. Daily Tech Origami Show. 4D Pasta. Instant IKEA. Water Gator Repeating. I don't get that one. Does IKEA deliver to space?
It's so crazy that IKEA is on Amazon now.
You can buy IKEA stuff on Amazon?
Yeah.
So wait, their entire inventory like of stuff?
I don't know. Look it up.
They need to replace one of their crappy...
Do your research.
...dressers with their... Well, I'm asking because I thought she knew, but apparently not.
No, I do. I don't know if it's the entire catalog. It's a lot of stuff, though.
That's crazy. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that just happened like a week or two ago.
Are they going to buy IKEA?
I don't know.
IKEA's moving, though, moving and shaking. They've got their Internet of Things platform. They got the shout out from Tim Cook at the WWDC regarding the AR kit. And then Cook mentioned them again in his interview. And now they're available on Amazon.
I know. It's good because they didn't have their delivery options were terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, IKEA. Yeah. They're horrid.
I did their delivery thing one time. It was shaky.
I promised myself I would get real furniture.
Instead of semi-disposable Swedish furniture?
But I don't know. It's still pretty good.
Yeah. The Billy bookcase is solid. I got two of them.
It's weird. They have a few items I think are outstanding, but
yeah.
Overall, I think it just kind of...
They're good at some things, but not good at others.
No, I mean, like they have a few high quality items that I would.
Callback.
Stop.
It was a callback.
I'll call you back.
Call your mom back.
You don't even know my mom's name. What would you? Actually, I wouldn't even know.
Call her back.
I was very polite and called your mom back after I spent a lovely evening with her.
I doubt that. You don't even. What's my mom's name? I told you twice before.
No, I love how you think you know exactly the number of times you told me what your mother's name is. You're so full of it. You never told me that.
Yes,
why would you tell me that? What's my mother's name?
I was never interested in it. So I
Tom knows. Tom knows my mother's name.
I do. I know Barbara's name.
Mm-hmm. Barbara. There.
What's your mom's name, Roger?
Francis.
No, Francis. I didn't. I've never known that. You have never told me that.
You've
so
told me that. And
full of baloney.
Yeah, I'll come to it. I know you've told me. What's
next
my mom's
time,
name? Neither one of you know my mom's name because I don't think I've ever told either one of you.
I forgot your sister's name. You told me your sister's name a bunch of times as it went through.
Yeah,
when
see?
And so, but this is the thing. I'm really bad at names. I can remember places. I can remember times, but I can't remember names. Don't smirk at me, Veronica.
I'm not smirking. It's just my face.
Next time, I will record the event. I will record the event.
Well, this time was recorded.
All right.
What event is he talking about?
Of him telling you that his mom's name is Francis.
No, it doesn't have to be my mom's name. It can be anything else.
Okay, just anything I'm required to memorize all things Roger ever tells
yes,
me.
Yes, never forget anything.
No,
Roger
so you can't be indignant and say you never told me that. You're full of crap.
Okay, well, this time.
What's my mom's name, though? You guys still don't know my mom's name.
No, I told you. I don't know, but I said you told me your sister's name, but I never
Skills remember. Cat guesses my mom's name is Dorothy. It's not, but that's close. You got one.
Deborah.
Nope.
Donna?
Morrissey?
What? Like Morrissey?
You replaced the D with an M. added...
No, that's not correct.
Is it Angela?
No.
D'Angela?
No. Definitely cold. You're colder.
I think more of the...
Where did that...
Dorthedra?
Wow. No. Freezing.
So it's not Deborah. You were going to try Deborah.
No, I have a cousin Deborah, though.
Is it Donna?
Nope.
Is it...
Darlene?
Chat room has not guessed it yet either.
Does it begin with D?
Sure. Yeah, I'll give you that. It begins with D.
Okay.
Okay, so that means it must be
Dana, Donna, Debbie, Deborah.
Did you find a website that has all the
no,
D names?
No, I'm just saying.
Okay.
D. All the D names.
David.
Diane.
Bingo.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
But two N's.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. The
two
French
N Diane.
Spelling.
So where are you going with for title?
Oh, yeah. While you guys are arguing, I picked instant IKEA to just add water.
Okay. That works. So hot.
What's Roger's mom's name?
Francis.
Yay. Your mom's Roger, name is Barbara.
Yeah, there we go. See?
See? What's my name? Forget.
Yahweh.
See, he knows it. He knows it. I miss you, Veronica. We don't hang out anymore, so it's the only way to connect is to give you a good tease.
That's good. I'll take it. I'll take it and I'll like it.
An iced tease.
Grocery. So wait a minute. So if Amazon gets IKEA, could you possibly
they don't have... It's not very much stuff.
I think it's Roger's taking a flight of fancy here.
Okay.
But like, could they possibly... I mean, they could literally outfit your house. They could turnkey your home. Or like, say you get a new... condo or whatever, you need furniture but you also need groceries. They could just like
all the cleaning products,
everything you need, it just shows up.
Yeah, they need to buy Redfin next.
Yeah, then they could just literally run your life.
Yeah,
you know that part in the Fight Club movie where Edward Norton's character is like going through his apartment and everything has like little price tags and the names suddenly appear. That's what's gonna happen. You just look through. It's like, got that on Amazon, that on Amazon, everything through Amazon. One nation under Amazon.
In Bezos we trust. Man, I remember all the rants about Amazon back in the 90s about how they were like undercutting local bookstores and
late 90s. Yeah,
yeah.
That was before
they expanded into selling anything but books.
I remember a lot of people were like saying, well, you got to just deal with the change. It's happening. And I buy
okay, I'm boiling. I got to get out of this room. Oh,
sorry.
All right. Sorry. Thank you, Veronica.
See you guys later. IRLpodcast.org. Subscribe today.
Subscribe,
bye.
Subscribe, subscribe.
Subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. Bye.
Bye. Do subscribe. I think it's going to be
it'll be awesome. Earl, as I will call it. Earl.
Earl.
You know, that's what people are going to call it in 100, 200 years. People won't say FBI, they'll say Phoebe. Same way we say scuba. or a laser, Phoebe. Or radar. Well, so
Bob, sorry, I'm laughing at something BioCow said that's an allusion to last night's Twin Peaks episode. And BioCow, the answer is, I really wish she would do that and act like Diane from Twin Peaks. That would be amazing.
So maybe you might know this since you're like, are you still up on the writing writer's guide and like style guide and all that stuff? Or
somewhat, yeah.
So I noticed in the British press, they tend to, for example, things like NASA, typically in the U.S., we'll spell everything in caps because it's a
acronym. If it's an acronym, even if you pronounce it out, you spell it out with caps, yeah.
But in Britain, you don't. You just do cap. It's like a proper name.
I don't know if that's a British thing or if it's just a style thing that varies that is more popular in Britain, because there were places, and I know this from CNET, there were places that would do that with CNET. You know, we at CNET would say the proper way to spell CNET is all caps because it stands for computer network. But other places would be like, that's not really an acronym and we're not going to spell it all out. It's a style variation. It may be a style variation that's more popular in Britain, though.
Because they'll do it with acronyms, but they won't do it with initials. Mm-hmm. FBI still stays with FBI.
Well, yeah, because you don't say FIBI. But NASA is an acronym.
Yeah, but they spell it with they spell like a proper name. Like
yeah,
the first
so they do it with acronyms. They do it with initialisms if they're pronounced.
But no, an acronym is a word that's.
In other words, they do it if the convention is to say NASA, then they would then they would spell it that way. Interesting. Yep. It depends on. What the style guide is that.
Well, and
following.
When I say British, I just mean British.
You
press.
See it in British press more often, is what you're saying. Yeah.
I've never seen it.
We're not saying that it's the law in England or Scotland or Wales or Northern Ireland or the Isle of Man.
To the tower with you.
Or the Turks and Caicos. Well, you know what? We're done. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out. We will talk to you tomorrow. Roger now has a special message he has prepared exclusively for our patrons. Roger.
The best Kit Kat are the British Kit Kats.
There you have it. Now you know. Bye, everybody.